WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, we are local, and it all starts with WTNS News.
Behind it, we should always err on the side of the inviolable right of parents to know and to be involved. Ultimately, we cannot strengthen education while continuing to perpetuate a lie.
Supporters of Title IX say not expanding federal protection for the transgender community will only support bullying. However, those against providing federal protection to transgender youth question if they could be sued if they don't comply. The National Transportation Safety Board is recommending all new vehicles in the U.S. be equipped with blood alcohol monitoring systems that can stop an intoxicated person from driving. The recommendation, if enacted by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, could reduce the number of alcohol-related crashes, one of the biggest causes of highway deaths in the U.S. The new push to make roads safer was included in a report released on Tuesday about a horrific crash last year in which a drunk driver collided head-on with another vehicle near Fresno, California. That crash killed both adult drivers as well as 7 children. Nearly 43,000 people were killed on roads last year, the most in 16 years. And 2022 marks the 175th anniversary of the establishment of Conesville as a village, and a big celebration is planned. The village has scheduled a party for Saturday, October 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Conesville Park. A slew of family-friendly activities is planned, and the village will provide food as Conesville continues to transition from the place known for its power plant to a place known for its recreation, thanks to the former AEP land being donated to the village. Mayor Marge Donnelly says this is not just a commemoration of the past, but also a celebration of everything to come.
There's just so much positive things going on in the village and associated with the village that this is just the perfect time to celebrate everything.
Admission is free, and residents and non-residents alike are invited to attend. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock and 63 degrees currently in Coshocton. Time for the Communication Lines program. Good morning to you. And we are going to have some open phone lines during our second hour this morning to talk about whatever is on your mind, whether it's NyQuil infused chicken, the latest oddball thing that's circulating around on the caller yesterday said it's a TikTok challenge. And while I applaud the creativity and the thought, not a good idea. So many different ways to cook chicken. If you need licorice flavored chicken, just get some anise or licorice, right, Emily?
Yeah. I haven't heard this, so I'm just
a caller brought it up yesterday, and then Jeremy had a story on it this morning. We can talk some sports the second hour. The Guardians win again, and they are putting some distance between themselves and the White Sox. They're now 6 games ahead of the White Sox. I guess 6. I have to double-check that. 9 games ahead of the Twins. The magic number down to, I think it said 7. So it would take a total collapse now for the Guardians not to make the playoffs, to not win the AL Central, and the White Sox would have to start winning, too. So in pretty good shape there. The Browns play tonight, and they play the Steelers. I almost forgot about that. They're playing a Thursday night game, and nothing would make them forget about last week's collapse more than a win over the Steelers. So those are some possible hour number two topics. Certainly a lot of other directions that we could go as well. But we are going to talk about canning and things that we do in the home. And we have here in the studio with us Emily Marison. And she is the family and consumer science educator. Did I get
that
it?
That is correct.
Yeah, 6 or 8 words in that title. But there's a lot of things that you do, so you need a long title.
That's right. You know, years ago, home economics would have been the title. And I'm trying to think if it's probably been 30, 40 years at this point that they changed home economics to family and consumer sciences, which gets at most of what we do. When we talk about it for OSU Extension, we say it's healthy people, healthy finances, and healthy relationships that we work on.
And didn't we go for a period without someone in your position there?
We did. In 2004, Joan Reed was the last educator that we would have had, and she went off to North Carolina State University Extension. And when she left, at that point, the position was not filled, and I came into the position in 2018. So there was a gap there. During that time, though, Kate Shoemaker, who is in Holmes County with OSU Extension, she would come down and do food preservation classes, usually during the summertime. So we still had a resource there in Kate, but it's really nice to be able to have that here in our county now.
Now, we're going to talk about canning and freezing and food preservation, but that's just one of the many things that you do in the office, right? What do you do?
It is. So I do focus on healthy finances as well. So I do individual financial coaching. I've been going through a lot of trainings over the past 4 years, getting some certifications to do personal and family finances with folks. So anytime that someone would want to meet one-on-one to talk about budgeting, to talk about maybe credit issues that they're having, that's something that I can have those initial conversations and connect you to resources if that is where you need to go. And then also on the relationship side of things, we have a class that we call Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate, mm-hmm. and that looks at that transition of your stuff, like who is going to get this stuff that's all around your house once you're no longer here, how to have those conversations, and that gets into the whole estate planning. So, you know, there's all kinds of different things that we can touch on, but basically anything that has to do with relationships and families and finances. It's kind of interesting. We had a sermon a couple weeks ago at church, and the beginning intro was talking about those things that we kind of put off. And as I listened to those things, which were, or maybe not that we put off, but things we know we should do, we don't always do, like things to do with nutrition, physical activity, budgeting, having those conversations that you know you need to have. And as I listened, I thought, yeah, these are all of the kinds of things that I'm trying to work on for my job and to try to help people do. I say often, this isn't rocket science. The stuff that I do, is there's science behind it, but it's really more about how to have the behavior change with it, because we usually know it in our head, mm-hmm. but it's a lot different to actually do those things and do them well.
And home economics, I'm thinking of, do they still teach home economics in schools here?
Yes, and family and consumer sciences is what it's called now. Okay. But all of our local schools do have, there's different titles for the classes. Principles of Food is one, so that's basic nutrition and learning how to cook. We have our culinary program at the Career Center.
Okay.
So, and then there's the early child care at the Career Center. So there's lots of different topics. They just kind of have different names now than what we maybe would have called home ec years ago.
And I think it was 7th or 8th grade it was. We had the home ec for the girls and the shop industrial arts, they called it, for the boys. And then one of the six weeks periods, they traded.
Yes.
And I made a pillow.
Very good. Do you still have your pillow?
I do not. So do they still do that? Do the boys still learn sewing?
Well, the boys are expected to take these classes. I can remember when I was in junior high, it was co-ed, we were all together. The girls were in industrial arts taking shop, and the boys were doing that too. I was at Windsor Wood a few weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about that, about their memories of the girls taking home economics and the boys being in those more shop-related kind of classes, and just how that's changed over the years.
When we talk gardening, not necessarily with the master gardeners, they're most women, but when I talk gardening with listeners, many men as women garden.
Yes, definitely. You know, there's just something about, especially on the gardening side, there is something about being outdoors, number one, right? Having your hands in the soil and being able to watch something grow, you know, to start with something small, and just, it's a miracle, really, what can happen with plants. Into and the more you learn, the better you get at it.
The more,
right?
You learn, the more you realize you don't know, which is the case is about everything.
Well, that is so true. Yes.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk maybe a little bit about gardening, but we're going to focus on food preservation, canning, and freezing, and how to do it well and how to do it safely as our broadcast continues with Emily Maris, the family and consumer science educator with the OSU Extension. We'll be back in just a few moments. This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by the John Ionello Agency, representing American National.
During National Farm Safety and Health Week, don't make the mistake that could cost a life. Never allow a passenger to ride with you on tractors, combines, or harvesters. Never allow a second person to ride with you. Think about it. Is it worth the risk? Protect your family and those you love.
You're invited to Keim Home Center in Charm for the 2022 Festool Experience Live Demo event on September 30th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't miss this opportunity to see what makes Festool different from other power tool brands on the market. Festool representatives will be on site to answer any questions you have about their products. Live demos will be focusing on cutting, joining, and finishing. Plus, giveaways will be going on throughout the event. Keim is the destination and trusted source for your home, building, and woodworking needs. Dedicated to caring for your project like they care for their own.
There are a lot of steps between conceiving, carrying, and cradling your baby. No matter what stage of motherhood you're in, our team at Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital will be there every step of the way. From managing high-risk pregnancies to delivery planning, we provide specialized care for you and your little one. For every care in the world, to learn more or schedule your care, visit unionhospital.org/motherhood.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by Coshocton Brake and Supply.
The National Safety Council reminds farm families that just because your child is interested in farm work does not mean that they should be allowed to participate in farm tasks. It is important for your child to have both the physical and cognitive skills necessary to safely complete a farm task. That tasks are age and developmentally appropriate. Children should always receive training before they're allowed to do a task. Even with training, adult supervision should be present at all times.
Did you know it is recommended that your children get their first eye exam between the ages of 6 and 12 months of age, another exam at age 3, and again at age 5? Dr. David Irwin and Dr. Danielle Irwin Ellis recommend your children be examined to rule out amblyopia, known as lazy eye. Call Irwin Family Eye Care at 622-2270 to schedule your child today.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early this morning, then a partly sunny this afternoon, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of rain is 50%. For tonight, mainly clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming a partly cloudy with high temperatures in the lower 60s. Currently, it is 63 degrees in Coshocton, and we are back once again with Emily Marison from Ohio State Extension here from the Extension office, and we're going to talk about canning and freezing and preserving that harvest that you've worked so hard on all summer. And Emily, I've mentioned before we started here that I garden. I grow tomatoes and peppers and some other stuff, but I've never tried canning, and I've been a bit intimidated by it.
There are a lot of people who are downright afraid to can because they've heard those, well, two different kinds of stories. The one is botulism, mm-hmm. right? So poisoning someone. And then the second are those safety, the farm safety little segments here made me think about that, where the lid, where it explodes, right? The lid blows off and there was food all over the place and they never wanted that to happen in their kitchen. So that's something we can talk a little bit here is how to prevent both of those things.
Do those things happen? How much of that is real or is it a myth?
Yeah, let's talk about the physical safety part first. So years ago, we've been canning for really centuries, but as far as like home canning and it really being more popular, that was a World War II kind of thing, right? Maybe even a little bit before that. I will tell you, there are canners that we test. So with OSU Extension, we do, we call it canner gauge pressure dial, the gauge testing to make sure that your dial gauge is still reading as it should be. We compare it to a calibrated gauge. There are times when I have looked at lids where I'll hear the story that this came from grandma or great grandma, really, at this point, mm-hmm. and that this is from the 30s or 40s. And those, oftentimes, they are still in great shape. They still are, as long as that dial, sometimes the dial gauge actually needs to be replaced, and that can just come off it. You know, it threads and can just come off, and a new one can go in there. But one of the things that happened after World War II is that a safety valve started to be added to many of those lids. So we can always tell when it's something that's kind of a pre-war lid, because oftentimes it won't have any kind of, we call it like an overpressure, place, so that at first they were, it's a hole and there was a little lead piece that fits in there, which sounds kind of like crazy for us to be talking about lead. But the reason that that was put in there is because it would begin to melt. If the pressure would get too high, it would melt. Then all of that steam would kick out of that hole. It would prevent the lid from then like exploding off of the canner. Now it's a little rubber piece that goes in there. So, but whether you've got an older lid that has the lead still in it, or whether you have one that has the little rubber piece that goes in there, as long as you have an overpressure valve that's in there, then you are in good shape, but you're in a much safer place from that lid ever. It's not going to explode.
There are safety mechanisms in place that perhaps we don't even realize that they're there.
Exactly. Now, if you do have a really, really old lid, I'd love to check it out for you and just look at it. Recently, I was at Kidron at the Layman's Hardware, and we looked at 62 lids within a five-hour period, and there were three that had no overpressure valve at all. And we just shared, like, this means that you have to have your eyes on this the entire time. You cannot walk away. You have to constantly be watching to make sure that pressure doesn't go up. And really, you should be watching if you have an overpressure valve anyway, but especially in that case, because there is no safety mechanism worked into that to prevent something from going wrong if the pressure would begin to build higher than you would expect it to.
And those would be with the very old ones.
Very old. I mean, you know, we're, like I said, we're talking almost 100 years old at this point. So anything that you're going to buy now, anything you buy now is not going to explode on you like that, because it has that safety valve worked
out. But it has to have happened at least once somewhere in the past, or we wouldn't be hearing the stories.
Yeah, and those are, and like I said, oftentimes that's the grandma, and it's the stories that are passed down, right? To be careful and to watch and make sure. Now, there's different kinds of pressure canners, and I guess even before that, we should say not everything that's canned needs to be canned in a pressure canner. So there is water bath, like boiling water bath canning, and that is safe for jams and jellies, for tomatoes that we add citric acid or lemon juice to. There's a few things that are higher in acid, because our concern when it comes to botulism, so there's a bacteria that's called Clostridium botulinum. That's what causes botulism and is a very serious foodborne illness because it's neurological. So it basically just shuts down your entire nervous system. It's a terrible thing to experience. That will not grow in acidic conditions. So that means something like green beans or potatoes are vegetables that are low in acid. They are the ones that have to be high pressure or pressure processed rather than processed in just boiling water bath. Because the temperature of boiling water, 212 degrees, that is not high enough to kill any spores of that Clostridium botulinum. When we put it under pressure, if you remember back to science class at all, when you put something under pressure, we make the temperature go up.
PV equals NRT. Yes.
There you go. So that means we can get up to 240 degrees, and that is the critical temperature that we need to get to in order to destroy those spores that would cause botulism. So you can, I've heard people say, well, I've boiled my green beans for like three, four hours. Well, first of all, yuck, because then they're just going to be mush. There's going to be no nutritional value really left at all at that point. And even though you've boiled them for that long, the temperature has never gotten high enough to kill any spores that could possibly have been there.
Okay, so that must happen occasionally too, though.
It does. The last that I am aware of in a fairly local area, Fairfield County, in 2014, there was a case of an outbreak where someone had brought potato salad to a potluck dinner. Mm-hmm. So in this case, they had taken their jar of potatoes that they had canned, just drained it, dumped it into the bowl, mixed up their potato salad, put it in the fridge. Right? Now, if those potatoes had been cooked and boiled afterwards and made into mashed potatoes or made into some kind of a hot dish, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, because that toxin that comes from Clostridium botulinum that causes botulism, it's an actual toxin, it can be destroyed by heat. But when you make something like potato salad, then there was no heat that was applied. So that toxin was still in that potato salad. That was taken to a potluck. Several people ate it. One person did die, and many were hospitalized and experienced for long periods of time. It can affect breathing. It can affect other neurological conditions in the body.
We could talk the rest of the morning about foodborne illnesses and risk, but potlucks where everybody brings something from home, and maybe parties where everybody brings something. Then you got 5, 10, 12, 15 people that might have done something wrong, and it just takes one to make you sick.
It does. It does. And after I went through food microbiology in college, I'll tell you come out one of two ways. You either come out where you will never eat at a buffet, you'll never eat at a potluck, you will basically never eat anything that you haven't made yourself, or you just know that there's a risk when you go places, and you kind of just keep your eyes open and look around for things that maybe you think might be safer depending on how they were handled, you know, like making sure that cold food is staying cold and hot food is staying hot. I don't think they could have ever imagined that someone who made potato salad would have used canned potatoes. And the important part to share is that was water bath canned. And like I said, for a potato, for a green bean, for any kind of a vegetable like that, it has to be processed under pressure and not just with boiling water.
My takeaway of that is I'm never going to can potatoes or green beans. But now, when you have a jar of potatoes or green beans or something that does have botulism in it, mm-hmm. can you spot it? Is it easily recognized?
And that's the thing. You can't. It is not detectable in any way. There's no smell.
Wow.
There's no appearance, because it's different than being spoiled. You know, when we see food that's spoiled, it usually has a smell of some kind. You know, something's off. Or the texture has changed some way, like, you know, in the refrigerator, your vegetables get slimy, or you can see mold on things. So spoilage microorganisms, they make their presence known, and we can see and we can throw that food out. When it comes to foodborne illness, things like salmonella, things like E. coli, things like botulism, there is no indication. And so that's what makes them, I say, sneaky, because they don't have a smell. They don't put out any kind of a color change or a texture change. And so that's why we eat them and get sick. And so it's the practices of getting to the correct temperature, of either keeping things cold or getting things hot enough when we're cooking them, making sure that we keep food separated, like keeping raw food away from produce when we're preparing food in our kitchen. Those are the practices that can prevent foodborne illness, because we can't see and taste and feel what would come from a foodborne illness causing bacteria.
You shared the example from Lancaster about the botulism, but are there other, salmonella or other foodborne illnesses or things that are that canned foods are at risk?
That's a great question.
Beyond botulism?
Yeah, so because salmonella and E. coli, those things are all very susceptible to heat. So as soon as we start boiling anything, even once we do our boiling water bath, we're not going to have to worry about those kinds of things. It's that it's botulism. The other part of it is because we're creating this environment where we take all the oxygen away. So if you think about a canned food, like we've got that lid on there, we've got a seal, and so there's no oxygen. Most microorganisms need oxygen just like we do to survive, but there are several that thrive in environments where there's no oxygen. Clostridium botulinum is one of them. So that is kind of like our indicator organism. That's why we make sure that the pH or the amount of acid that's in our food is below 4.6. It's like a magic number when it comes to food safety. So as long as that pH is below 4.6, that's when we can can in a water bath. If it's above 4.6, like all of our vegetables, and even some tomatoes at this point, which is why we tell people to add citric acid or add lemon juice to tomatoes when you're processing, then those things all have to be canned under pressure.
Okay, and pickles, if you're using vinegar for pickles, typically?
Then that will get you, that'll get you down to your, now, I will say, it's best to, if you've got like an old family recipe that you've never compared to a modern research-based recipe, you might want to check it out and just see, because, you know, if you only have about half as much vinegar in your recipe as what an approved recipe might have, there may be a chance, because cucumbers are low in acid. Mm-hmm. So it's adding that vinegar that's making it higher. So if you don't have that critical amount of vinegar, you may not be at that 4.6. So it might be a good idea to just to kind of compare your family recipe, if you use one, to something that you would find. The website that I'll tell everyone to check out, it's for the National Center for Food Preservation. And that's at the University of Georgia. The research that they've done is USDA funded. They're like the place where all the research is done on canning food, freezing food, all of the recipes. They have lots of different recipes on there, and pickles is definitely one of them.
I've been spending time asking you about the dangers of canning, and
I know it's depressing, isn't it?
And illnesses and the danger of explosions. All that being said, that doesn't happen that often, but it can happen, and we need to be aware
of those things. And that's what I don't want people to walk away from this conversation being afraid. It's just being aware that it can, but knowing with modern equipment, the chances of something happening physically from a safety standpoint are very, 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 very low. And as long as you're following approved recipes, you're, you know, getting things up to pressure, you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to have safe products.
Let's go ahead and take a break, Emily. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about canning and some of the bullet points and the things to keep in mind when selecting your jars and your lids, et cetera, and preparing for canning. We'll be back right after these words.
MVHC Urgent Care provides health care without the wait. Their locations offer extended hours and are fully equipped with X-ray and lab services. You do not have to be an MVHC patient to utilize their urgent care services. Visit one of their convenient locations in Coshocton for all of your urgent health care needs.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by the Inslee Agency, your local Wayne Insurance Agency.
All-terrain vehicles, ATVs, are popular for work and recreation on many farms and ranches. Unfortunately, according to the National Safety Council, there are increasing reports of accidents with serious injuries and even deaths. Most of these accidents can be attributed to improper use of the ATV. Hello, everyone. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield with this Farm Safety and Health Week message. An ATV is not a toy. Children should not be allowed to operate an ATV without special training, and then should only be allowed to operate one that is size appropriate. ATVs are not made for multiple riders. You should wear appropriate riding gear. Do not operate the ATV on streets, highways, or paved roads. Make sure tires are aired up and wheels in good condition. Make sure the controls and cable are operational. An ATV can be a great tool on the farm, but improper use can be deadly. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield.
Only Best Heating and Air can give you authentic Lennox quality and service for your home's heating and cooling needs. They're the people you know and trust right in our community. With regular maintenance from Best Heating and Air, you can keep your air perfect year-round and keep your home's heating and cooling system running at peak performance. Think Best Heating and Air to keep your system running perfectly season after season. Call Best Heating and Air at 740-545-9400 or visit them at bestheatingandac.com to schedule an appointment today. Dealer license number 30482.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
This is the Meat Man, Gary Collins from Collins Meat and Food Market. Fall is here, but the weather is still perfect for firing up the grill with the best meat in town. Our meat cases are full of fresh-cut steaks, chicken breasts, heat and eat prime rib, and discounted rib burger deli loaves and hot dogs. If you're looking for the most economical way to buy meat, try one of my 19 economy meat bundles, ranging from $19.95 to $179.95. Tell us you heard this on the radio and get free freezer wrap on any one of my 19 economy meat bundles. To place orders, call 622-4625 or stop by 993 Kenilworth Avenue. Come in and see us at Collins Meat and Food Market for 42 years, where you can't beat our deli meat prices. Enjoy the weekend, and remember, keep smiling.
Gary gladly accepts the Ohio Direction Card and delivers free within the city limits.
Tim Ryan's voted for the Biden-Pelosi tax and spend agenda 100% of the time. That hurts hardworking Ohio families struggling with sky-high prices. Here's Bruce, a single dad in Massillon.
We're already strapped, but taxing Tim Ryan? He's putting the burden of payment for all his reckless Washington spending on hardworking middle-class families like mine, with $20 billion in higher taxes. Ryan also voted to hire 87,000 new IRS employees, not just to go after the rich, but to try to squeeze the little guy even more. My family just can't afford taxing Tim Ryan.
Higher taxes on hardworking families and the IRS coming after us for more? Taxing Tim Ryan just doesn't deserve our vote. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Hi, this is your Coshocton Howard Hanna real estate agent, Candy Hostetter. If you've been thinking about selling your home, finding out its value is the place to start. I can help value your home in today's market conditions. You deserve a home you love, and I can help you find it. Call me, Candy Hostetter, at 740-575-1248.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early this morning, then a partly sunny this afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s for tonight. Mainly clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-40s, and tomorrow partly sunny in the morning, then becoming a partly cloudy, highs in the lower 60s. Currently in Coshocton, it is 63 degrees. And we are back once again with Emily Marison from the Extension Office. And we're going to talk some more about canning and freezing and food preservation, but what about some of the basics of canning, Emily? You touched on some of during our course about our course of discussion earlier, but if you're going to can, let's say for the first time, what supplies do you need and what are some of the key tips?
Sure. So the most important thing to know is what it is that you want to can first, and that will determine then what kind of process you need. So if you're planning on doing the jams, the jellies, the things where you know they're higher in acid, then you really can use any kind of a stock pot in order to get boiling water. The important thing is that when you put your jars in, you don't want them to rest on the very bottom of your pot. So there are, you know, canners that are out there. You don't have to have a fancy one by any means. Just make sure that you have something on the bottom of your pot to separate your jar, your glass jar, from touching the very bottom.
Well, why is that important?
So it could get just too hot and break your jar. Okay. It's really a physical concern in that case. So, you know, I've seen people that have just tied together lit the screw band lids, so like the circle part of the lid, and tied those together, and you can put those in the bottom. They make little racks, like made out of silicone, and you can put those in the bottom. Just make sure that you've got something. Don't use a towel, though. It's not recommended to use any kind of a cloth or anything like that down in the bottom of your pan, but that will be one of the important things that you need. When it comes to your jars, as long as you are sure that it's a jar that can withstand canning. You know, years ago, when you saw a glass jar and it said Ball on it or said Kerr on it or Golden Harvest or, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of brands that are out there for jars, you knew it was for canning. Well, in the past, what, decade or so, it has been so popular to decorate now with canning jars. So popular that Ball and others have from a... from an economic standpoint, said, oh, this is a good opportunity for us. And so they've started producing some decorative kinds of jars that are out there that aren't really canning jars. So just make sure that when you, you know, if you're going to get something at a yard sale or a thrift store, chances are it probably is a canning jar. But if it has the word Mason on it, M-A-S-O-N, then you know that's something that you can actually can with. So try to stay away from the things that are maybe more colored glass and that kind of thing, because they, chances are they may be like a reproduction, and those are not tempered in the same way to withstand the canning process.
Can you tell by the thickness of the glass, or
it's
by looking
at it? It's really tough. If it does say Mason, typically that's a good indicator that it really is a canning jar. If you have any questions about that, you can always call me at the extension office and I can talk to you about that. You know, if you've, and part of it is going to be if you had some issues in the past. I know I've heard this summer a few people say, yeah, I had some jars that broke this year. Well, it could be maybe, I mean, there's some different things we can walk through from a troubleshooting standpoint, but it could be maybe that it was not a safe jar
is,
to
is
be
that
able
the worst
to do.
That can happen though is breakage if you use a
That's really going to be it. And the other thing to stay away from, you know, years ago it was reusing like mayonnaise jars or other kinds of, well, now we don't even have that option because everything's made out of plastic basically at this point. There's hardly anything that's glass that you can really can with, but I know a few years ago when we went through my grandma's huge stash of jars, there were some mayonnaise jars that were mixed in with those, you know, official canning Mason jars. And those are made for that one-time process. You know, they're made to put the mayonnaise in, to treat it, and then for you to use it to put nails or screws or paper clips in, not to can food in anymore. So when it comes to jars, just make sure you're using jars that are meant for canning. And then same thing for lids. Make sure that the lids are meant for canning as well. Now, we experienced here a couple years ago a major lid shortage. It was very tough for people to find lids in the store, especially around here. You know, we were running out of lids. So people were like digging back in their cupboards to find, you know, my mother-in-law had some where I pulled it out and the copyright on it, like said 1980 something or rather. What the companies will typically tell you is that they guarantee their sealant, you know, maybe 5-ish years or so. So if you have lids that are around more than a decade or a couple decades, you may experience some issues with the sealing. So you just want to be aware of that. Any kind of lid that you get, just be aware if you're ordering them off the internet that it may be possible that they're not truly designed for canning. So just make sure that it really says that. But anything you're going to find here locally in our stores, especially if it's a Ball brand or a recognized canning brand, then you're going to be safe with those. One thing to also kind of watch out for, in a lot of our Amish bulk food stores, you'll find like a whole sleeve of lids. And when I'm saying lids, I'm talking about that flat circle part, mm-hmm. right? And then there's also the screw band then that you put that lid keep that on the jar with. The only thing to watch out with those is sometimes they don't seal quite as well. It just kind of depends on what the what the batch was, where they came from. But I've had a few calls this summer with some problems with things sealing. So, you know, just kind of keep that in mind. And if they don't seal, you've got 24 hours to take that lid off and put another lid on and try it again. So, you know, just be aware of that as well, that if you have something that doesn't, and when we say seal, if you've ever experienced canning before, the lid will suck down, you know, creates a vacuum. And so you'll hear that little ping that will happen. And when you push on the lid, it won't move up and down. If it's not sealed, then you'll hear a little clicking noise, and that lid will move up and down. So that's how you know whether something's been sealed correctly.
Okay. And the different brands of canning jars, Ball and Curd, Golden Harvest, they're all compatible with each other?
Yes, they are. And you know, in the past few years, like, there's been so many, just like with everywhere, consolidations, and so they're in a lot of ways all kind of the same thing at this point. Now, one thing to, that's a really good question, because one thing that we have noticed is that with the lid shortage, some metric lids had been introduced into the system as well. And I'll tell you, I didn't even realize, I mean, I should have thought about this, but didn't even realize that there are metric size lids that are out there. So if you find that a lid that you're using doesn't quite fit kind of our standard jar, it could be that it's meant to be used in Canada, basically, or in Europe, somewhere where they're using a metric kind of system for their lids. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you don't think it quite fits on there right, it could be really true that it doesn't fit on there right, and you might want to avoid those.
So if we buy the jars here in the United States, do they sell the metric ones here at all? Or
there's one brand that I am aware of. It's PUR, and we do have those that are sold locally. I know those lids, sometimes they are just a teeny tiny bit larger than what would fit on kind of our standard, whether it's wide mouth or regular mouth jars. So it's really better in that case if you can find a pure jar then for it to match up to, then you should be in much better shape.
Okay. That's like Lego blocks.
Yeah,
like the knockoff Lego
exactly.
blocks just don't fit at all. And if you get them mixed up, it's a big mess. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to take another break, Emily. We'll come back and finish up on canning. I want to make sure that we talk about freezing as well. And I have frozen some tomatoes, actually, with some success in the past. So we'll talk more about canning and freezing with Emily right after these words.
Are your creditors threatening you? Are your wages being garnished? Do you fear you may lose your home? Call the local bankruptcy attorney at Drown Law Offices of Coshocton to stop the harassment. When you file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, your debts are eliminated, and in most cases, you can keep your home, car, personal possessions, and retirement. With proper guidance, good credit can be reestablished in only a few years. Call today for a free, no-obligation packet at 740-291-8080.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by Gress Real Estate and Auction Service. During National Farm Safety and Health Week, we encourage farmers who work with loud farm equipment, including tractors, combines, augers, and grain drying equipment, to use approved hearing protection. Loud noises over long periods of time can cause permanent hearing loss. Spend the time now to find the personal hearing protection that works for you before the busy buzz of harvest.
Hi, this is Pastor Neil Darien, inviting you to come join Julie and myself for an evening in Israel without leaving Coshocton. Enjoy pictures, stories, Israeli snacks, and very old things we've found in Israel. You'll get a free olive wood Christmas tree ornament. The event is Tuesday, September 27 at 6 p.m. at the Coshocton Library. Go to chilicrossroads.org/Israel to register. The event is free and open to the public.
Did you know that dogs love Halloween? Well, they do. And this year, your friends at Good Boy Bakery have put together a special Halloween bucket of goodies just for your four-legger. It'll have decorated cookies, special chews, a half pound of bite-sized biscuits, and lots more fun items inside this Halloween bucket. Now, your two-leggers can use it. to collect candy this year at Halloween. Now get yours today at goodboybakery.com and click on the order button. And be sure to stop by Good Boy Bakery on October 27th when we'll have trick-or-treat in Roscoe Village. But you don't have to wait till then. Stop by today while the waffles are warm.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center is now hiring. Walk in during our open interviews every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and apply on site. Open interviews are located at the Human Resources Office at 1501 Orange Street in Coshocton. Openings include clinical and non-clinical positions with sign-on bonuses up to $15,000 for select positions. Check out our openings at CoshoctonHospital.org. Join the local healthcare team that places patient care first. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. During September, we are giving an additional $500 off your next vehicle to all our local heroes, doctors, nurses, EMTs, hospital staff, deputies, firefighters, and also active military and veterans. Only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
And we're back with the second round.
What is the only proven winner against both sudden death syndrome and soybean cyst nematodes?
Oh, I know this one.
Go right ahead.
We use this one on our farm. The answer is Ilevo seed treatment.
That is correct.
Woo!
And we'll be right back after this commercial break with our final question. Will the right answer still be Ilevo seed treatment? Take a wild guess. BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by Exterminatol Pest Control. During National Farm Safety and Health Week, we encourage farmers who work with loud farm equipment, including tractors, combines, augers, and grain drying equipment, to use approved hearing protection. Loud noises over long periods of time can cause permanent hearing loss. Spend the time now to find the personal hearing protection that works for you before the busy buzz of harvest.
Choose a Genesis primary care provider as your go-to medical partner to manage your health needs. When you do, you'll have the benefit of MyChart, the secure electronic medical record system from Epic, the leading health information software company. Genesis Primary Care has offices conveniently located in Muskingum, Perry, and Coshocton counties. To find a Genesis primary care provider who is accepting new patients, make one call, 740-455-7500, and we'll help you find the right provider in the right location for you.
Come on, kids, get in the van. You don't want to be late for school.
Mom, where's my homework?
It's in your book bag. Now let's get going. Oh, no. The van won't start. Now what am I going to do?
When you need help, call Princess Wrecker Service at 622-3916. Anyone can call Dave and his guys to buy from the AAA battery program. Princess provides towing and lockout service, too.
Partly sunny today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Chance of rain is 50%. And for tomorrow, mainly clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming a partly cloudy with highs in the lower 60s. Currently, it is 67 degrees in Coshocton, and we're all caught up now. I want to talk about freezing, Emily, but any other tips? Anything in closing about canning you'd like to mention?
Well, I'll just mention that we do have some classes typically. This summer we did a making pickles class and a making salsa class. So keep your eyes, ears open next spring, and you'll probably see some things coming up during the summer. I am always there at the extension office to answer questions. So feel free to call anytime. The number there is 740-622-2265. And I'm happy to answer any kind of questions, troubleshoot if you're experiencing a problem. I know I'll hear every year, well, I've been doing this for years and this has never happened before. That's what I'm here for, is to talk through some of those sorts of things. Also, we did a webinar series this summer about a new fact sheet series that we have called Selecting, Storing, and Serving Ohio Produce. So if you go to our website, you can see recordings of all of those webinars. We just talked about a variety of different fruits and vegetables that are grown here in Ohio, how you can or freeze or just cook them, and what to look for. And our website is coshocton.osu.edu.
There seems to be a fact sheet for everything there. The Master Gardener's always mentioned the fact sheets. Are they as specific as, for example, canning green beans?
Yes. I mean, we have probably 50 different fact sheets that are about very specific things. Now, when it comes to canning, we have canning vegetables. And like I mentioned earlier, in case you didn't hear it, there is a website that's the National Center for Home Food Preservation that's out of the University of Georgia. They are our go-to site for research-based information. And then we reference them a lot in our fact sheets at Ohio State.
I have never canned, but I have frozen quite a bit. I freeze peppers, especially the hot ones. Great way to preserve them. Very often the real hot ones, I'll just dehydrate and grind them up, and they've got a long shelf life there. But tomatoes and peppers I've frozen before, and all I do is put them in a bag and stick them in the freezer. Is it more complicated than that?
So it depends on what you're freezing. Sometimes there's a recommendation to blanch vegetables, and the advantage in doing that is that we know that vegetables have enzymes in them, because if you leave it in the garden too long, eventually they start to, you know, rot and decompose. If you think about the goal of a plant is to reproduce. And so we think the goal of a plant is to give us food. That's like the benefit that we get. But really, its goal is to reproduce. So those enzymes are breaking down the fruit to help those seeds, you know, be viable to make another plant. We want to stop those enzymes. So an important process is to blanch, which basically just means to put it into boiling water. It depends on the vegetable, and you can, of course, look at the fact sheet to know what the appropriate time is, but it's usually anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes, usually at the most. That inactivates that enzyme. You plop them back into cold water to shut down that cooking process, because the point isn't to cook them. It's just to inactivate those enzymes. And then put them into a freezer container or a bag, anything. Just make sure that it is appropriate for freezing, because sometimes there are containers that we might use that are just so brittle that they just might not keep that moisture out the way that it should. You might experience freezer burn that way.
With tomatoes, just to quickly share my own experience, that was at a suggestion of a caller that you can freeze your tomatoes at the end of the season. My initial response is, and you are not going to have your fresh cut summer tomato slices for a BLT. That's can only happen with a fresh tomato fresh off the vine. However, I have found that if you just freeze them, again, I'll wash them off and stick them in a bag, and when it's time to use them for a chili or a recipe or something, when you run them under some warm water, the skin comes right off. You can slice them up, and they retain, to me, they retain a surprisingly amount of, I don't know what to describe it, whether it's umami or freshness or whatever. A better flavor than a jar or a can of tomatoes.
Yeah, really, from a food preservation standpoint, if you have freezer space, I would encourage you to freeze. Usually the flavor is going to be, you know, depending on your own preference, but oftentimes people will just describe the flavor as being more enjoyable when they've frozen. Really, the advantage in canning is that it truly is shelf stable. So you're not required to put any additional energy into it. But depending on what you're canning, it can take an incredible amount of your own energy to get that done and time. Mm-hmm. When it comes to freezing, it's usually a much quicker process.
Another reason why I freeze. Yes.
Right? It does not take long. You don't have a lot of equipment involved. Especially if you invest a little bit in the beginning in some freezer-safe containers, then you can reuse those over and over and over again. But they're typically not as expensive as jars, unless you pick up your jars, like I said, at a yard sale or thrift store or something like that. But you can also use the freezer bags. That's and freeze them flat. They often don't take up that much room, depending on what you're freezing, depending on what vegetable or fruit. And I'll tell you, I love being able to get out like rhubarb in January and make a strawberry rhubarb pie. Does it taste exactly like it does in the spring? No, but it's pretty close. And I appreciate the ability to freeze. I think it's an easier process than canning, and maybe not as intimidating for a lot of folks to do that. But it's a great way. I mean, load up on some things either in your own garden or at the farmer's market and get those in the freezer soon.
Are there is there any type of fruit or vegetable, anything in particular where there are risks? Are the risks of foodborne illness with freezing? What are some of the risks, if any, of freezing?
Right. So from a freezing standpoint, freezing does not kill any microorganisms, but it essentially stops them in their place. So if you had anything as you were handling your food, it's back to those good, clean food handling processes. If you've introduced something somehow along the way into, then the freezing process is not going to kill it. But as long as you're handling it well and keeping your surfaces clean, then it is a very safe process to freeze food.
And as far as food preservation goes, canning and freezing, those are really, that's about it.
That's the basics. You did mention dehydrating. So drying also, it's kind of becoming more popular. I've had a few questions about freeze drying as well. Not that everyone has a freeze dryer in their repertoire of food appliances, but it's amazing sometimes how many food appliances people are interested in. Those are now, when it comes to freeze drying, if you have questions about that, that's kind of a new area because it's just really becoming available to consumers now. But when it comes to dehydrating, there are, again, lots of fact sheets and information that are out there. When it comes to fruit especially, it can be a great way to preserve fruit.
Okay, and so again, lots of fact sheets, 50 of them on canning alone, right?
Well, on food preservation in general, yeah.
Okay. Well, Emily, anything else you'd like to touch on? We're coming up here on the top of the hour, but anything else that you'd like to mention today?
So, just to mention, I work for OSU Extension, and so I'm there at the Extension office, happy to answer questions any time of year. If you do have a pressure canner and you have the dial gauge, so we didn't talk a lot about how there's some different types. One type is kind of a jiggler, so it you listen instead of watch for the pressure change in that. But if you have a dial, it is recommended to have that checked once a year. I have that equipment at the office. You can call anytime, and I can check that with the calibrated gauge to make sure you're in good shape. And just thank folks for supporting Extension. We don't talk about it often, but we do have a levy, and so we function because of tax money, both at the local and state and federal level. And so we just appreciate everyone's support of us here in Coshocton County.
Just a quick personal note. I want to make sure that we work it in today. And you have a wonderful voice, and your thoughts are always very well organized and articulated. You do have some background in radio, don't you?
Well, yeah, I was.
It goes back a while.
When I was in college, I had the opportunity to work for Ed Johnson on ABN, and that was just an amazing experience. If anybody remembers the farm voice in the morning and afternoon from Ed Johnson, he was a very special person, and that was a pleasure to get to work for him.
He had a unique voice, and when it comes to agriculture radio, he's the man.
He definitely was,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And also on a personal note, I want to make sure to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh.
Thank you for coming in here today and,
thank you.
And sharing with our listeners on your special day.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. And Emily, it's been a pleasure. That is Emily Marison, the family and family and
consumer. Yeah.
You want to see my chicken scratch here? Family and consumer. Science educator from the Ohio State University Extension office. We're going to have open phone lines from here on out. If you do want to talk about canning or gardening or preserving your peppers, hot peppers. In fact, I can help with some tips on that. I've been doing it for quite a while now. I've got a food dehydrator and a coffee grinder, and that's all you need. Phone lines are open to talk about that, to talk sports, about the Guardians or the Browns who play tonight, or if there's anything else going on in the world today. I can get my stuff here from the Associated Press. You can give me a call starting right now at 740-622-1560. It's 2 minutes past 10. Let's get our national and international news now from the AP.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. The separatist leaders of four Russian-controlled areas of Ukraine say they're planning to hold referendums this week for the territories to become part of Russia as Moscow loses ground in the war it launched. In an alarming assessment, the head of the United Nations Security Council, Antonio Guterres, is telling world leaders nations are gridlocked in colossal global dysfunction and aren't ready or willing to tackle major problems. Former President Donald Trump's lawyers are telling an independent arbiter they are reluctant to answer questions about declassification of documents found at Trump's Florida estate. The AP's Tim McGuire has the story.
Special Master Raymond Deary asks former President Donald Trump's attorneys and the Justice Department for likely agendas as he proposes a draft plan on how to go forward over the next 2 months. Trump's lawyers told the judge they won't answer questions on the classified status of the 11,000 documents because it might be part of his defense should there be an indictment. He has claimed without evidence they were declassified. Both sides meeting with Deary today in Brooklyn. Trump's lawyers are also expected to respond to the Justice Department's appeal of a different judge's order blocking, at least temporarily, the use of the classified documents as part of the criminal investigation. I'm Tim McGuire.
Britain's Culture Secretary Michelle Donlan was asked how much taxpayers had paid for Queen Elizabeth's funeral.
We haven't got that total figure, but I think, you know, the taxpayer would argue that it was money well spent. In my own constituency, I saw so many people coming out to celebrate for the Jubilee across the community.
Donlan also said about 250,000 mourners lined up to see the late monarch's coffin at Westminster Hall and pay their final respects. The Chicago Fire Department says six people have been injured in an apartment explosion. Stocks are lower so far on Wall Street ahead of a key decision on interest rates by the Federal Reserve. This is AP News. The White House South Lawn will be a concert venue later this week.
And you can tell everybody.
Elton John will perform on the lawn Friday evening as part of an event called A Night When Hope and History Rhyme, a reference to an Irish poem President Biden often quotes. Stars like John avoided the Trump White House, but the Biden administration has been embracing pop culture. BTS and Olivia Rodrigo have made appearances.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
James Taylor played at a White House event last week. John will perform Friday for an audience the administration says will include teachers, nurses, gay rights advocates, and others. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Qatar's ambassador to Germany was urged to abolish his country's penalties for homosexuality at a human rights congress 2 months before the Middle East country stages the World Cup. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
It is 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we have open phone lines up until 11. Thanks again for Emily for joining us this morning, talking about canning and preserving food. It is harvest time, not only for the farmers and those in agriculture, but those that grow gardens as well. My tomatoes, they are all done, and this year's tomato crop gets an F. Minus. Well, the plants I had, so many of them started, some of them started rotting before they ripened, and I got a few good ones, it would have been a lot easier if I'd have just gone to the farmer's market and three or four times and bought my tomatoes there, but it wouldn't have been as much fun. So we can talk about that. My, peppers, and the real hot peppers that I grow, they do tend to ripen much later than the tomatoes do. So the tomatoes are all done, but I have a few pepper plants that are going strong right now. Some of the world's hottest, Carolina Reapers, Ghost Peppers, etc. And what I do with most of my peppers, I've frozen a few before, but they are so hot that I just can't use them all. And I give them away to people that I, you know, those that I know that, that like them. But what I do is dehydrate them and then grind them up in a coffee grinder. And I've taken the seeds out and I've left the seeds in. It's a lot of extra work to take them out. And you don't have to do that, but you get more flavor and less heat that way. So we can talk about that if you would like. And so what I will do is each say they're ghost peppers and just slice them open, put them in the food dehydrator, and slicing them open to make sure that they properly dehydrate. That is an important part. And about, I'm thinking about a week. And the maybe less than that, but about a week, so they're good and dry in the food dehydrator, and then stick them in a coffee grinder. I got a little $10 coffee grinder that I use exclusively for peppers. I have never ground coffee in it. I have ground store-bought peppercorns in it before, and which to me. Well, you can buy the pepper grinders. Freshly ground pepper is so much more flavorful than the container of the black pepper that you get. It's less convenient. Grind up those hot peppers in there. You got to be careful with your ghost peppers because it can some of the particles can become airborne and agitate your sinuses and your eyes. I have literally a lifetime supply of ground Carolina Reaper pepper. But it's the peppers are the type of things that they're fun to grow, and that's really why I do it. I grow more than I can ever possibly use. I've made some hot sauce and I've sold some hot sauce before. I've given away some hot sauce and the pepper, but it doesn't take much at all. To add some spice to a dish. And I'm not one. I've done it before, and I've done it to show off and, at parties, et cetera, eating a raw Carolina Reaper or a ghost pepper. But as a rule, I don't do that very often. And furthermore, even if you chop them up and use diced hot peppers in a recipe at the Carolina Reapers, the ghost peppers, it's still going to overwhelm your food. Some like food like that. So make hot sauce out of it. Better yet, ground pepper, and you can control how much heat goes into your recipe. I'll take the super hot stuff and sprinkle just a little bit of it on top of my cottage cheese or into a bowl of soup or in a chili. Typically, when I make a batch of chili, for myself, make a batch of chili in the crock pot and just take one pepper, ghost pepper, a Scotch bonnet, or a Carolina Reaper, slice it open and let it simmer with all the rest of the stuff, and that is enough to light up the whole batch of chili. Can't do that if I'm making it for a wide general audience, if there's 30 people that's going to eat out of it, because it's going to be too hot for 27 of them. So your thoughts on gardening, your thoughts on hot peppers, your thoughts on adventurous eating, whether it is beef tongue or whether it is NyQuil-infused chicken, that is just bizarre. And I had a discussion with a caller yesterday about that. He had found it on TikTok. The latest challenge is to cook chicken, marinated or simmered in NyQuil. I didn't need to wait for a story from the Associated Press, but Jeremy had a story this morning on it that says, essentially, don't do that. Bad idea. I always admire creative ideas, but that one is just goofy. You're cooking with medicine. If it's all about the flavor, you can get yourself some licorice or some anise. Or a bottle of ouzo, a Greek liqueur, which is licorice flavor, which I do not like at all. So give me a call. We can talk about any of those things. Let's see. What else? The world of sports. Let's just call up the baseball standings and see where our Guardians are at this point. It's all but done. that they are going to make the playoffs. Their magic number is down to 7. Let's see, headline search, baseball. And the Guardians are now 6 games in front of Chicago in the American League Central. The Minnesota Twins were in first place for a while. They have fallen on some hard times, and they are now 6 games below 500. They're 73-76 and are 9 games back, and they are out of it in the American League Central. The magic number for the Guardians right now is 7. So that is what a magic number means. Any combination of Cleveland wins and Chicago losses, you add one to the magic number. So if Cleveland beats the White Sox today, that number will go from 7 down to 5. Because the White Sox will have lost as well. If the White Sox beat the Guardians, well, then that magic number stays at 7. So although the White Sox are still mathematically in it, it would take a total collapse on the part of the Guardians and a total winning streak on the White Sox would have to get hot. But never say never. It's Cleveland sports we are talking about, which leads us to the Browns coming off that terrible loss. And there was Browns fans up in Cleveland last week that were booing the Browns at the end of the game. They were ahead by 13 points with under 2 minutes to go and lost the game by a point. And nothing would hit the spot more than knocking off the Steelers tonight. In Cleveland. Yeah, that's right. It's a Thursday night game. The Browns haven't looked at that collapse notwithstanding last week. They haven't looked bad. They've shown that they can move the ball. So we can talk some sports if you would like, or whatever else you are thinking about on this Thursday morning. The phone lines are open between now and 11 o'clock, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. Let's see. Let's toss an oddball story into the mix here before we get to a break. How about this? There is a lot more than just one for the road on a Florida highway. Authorities say I-75 had to be closed a while after a semi-trailer hauling cases of Coors Light crashed. A beer truck crashed and overturned. The wreck turned the roadway into a sea of silver beer cans. The Florida Highway Patrol says the crash occurred in the southbound lanes of I-75 about 30 miles north of Tampa. Officials say the pileup happened when one semi clipped another while changing lanes. The semi with the beer ended up dumping the suds on the road. And oftentimes when a semi with an unusual cargo is in an accident, it makes the news. I was on that stretch of highway not that long ago, back in February. 10:15 is the time. We can talk about any of those things that I mentioned, or if there's something else that you want to bring up, be my guest, 740-622-1560. This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by Heritage Cooperative.
Many agricultural workers are exposed to chemicals on a daily basis. If they do not observe proper precautions, illness or even death may occur. I'm Julie Harker with Brownfield. While pesticides can enter the body through a number of routes, the most common way is through the skin or by inhaling. To prevent skin contact and inhalation of pesticides, applicators should wear protective clothing and equipment. The National Agriculture Safety Database says farmers should always pay attention and read the labels on any chemical they're working with. Proper chemical storage is essential to preventing accidents. Pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides must all be stored separately. These areas must be screened and ventilated from the outside in order to maintain air quality. The area should also be cool and dry to prevent product breakdown or inactivation. Also, check the label for proper winter storage. During National Farm Safety and Health Week and year-round, it's important to be aware of the dangers of the farm and take precautions to prevent accidents. I'm Julie Harker with Brownfield Ag News.
Otsego Carryout in Coshocton is the only stop for whatever you need. Check out their deli, meat and cheese, a freshly made grab-and-go sandwich, and a large selection of Walnut Creek favorites. Check out these new items. A new selection of grab-and-go snacks and sandwiches, chocolate peanut butter fudge, and a large variety of deli meat and cheese. Stop by Otsego Carryout today. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by TMK Bakersville and TMK Valley Propane.
Country roads can be beautiful during the fall, but always be on the lookout for farm vehicles. Farmers must transport grain and other harvest equipment to and from fields. Sometimes it's slow going, which can be frustrating to both farmers and motorists who share the roads. The National Safety Council would like to remind you to use understanding when you come upon farm vehicles. Slow down, be ready to react, and wait until it is safe to pass.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. September is Hero Appreciation Month. All first responders will get additional $500 off their next vehicle. Doctors, nurses, EMTs, firefighters, deputies, active military, and veterans. Ask for me, Tiffany Johnson.
This look at the weather is brought to you by CleanRite Carpet Cleaners. What's in your dirty carpet? Pet hair, dust mites, bacteria, mold. Stacy Young with CleanRite Carpet Cleaners has over 30 years of experience, and he can get your carpets as clean as they can possibly get. It's not the only way, but it's the right way. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Partly sunny today with high temperatures in the mid-60s, mainly clear tonight. Much cooler with overnight lows in the mid-40s, and tomorrow partly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Highs in the lower 40s, highs in the lower 60s. That's lows in the mid-40s tonight. Currently here in Coshocton, it is 67 degrees. It's the first day of fall. I'm starting to feel like it, and I love it. It is 19 minutes after 10. Let's take our next phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Feels like football weather, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yes. You got a prediction for Saturday, Ohio State?
Well, let me think. I have it put, I'm going to say the Buckeyes by 10. How about 38-28 Buckeyes? And Wisconsin is, they're unranked, but I'll have to look up the scores here. They got beat by Washington State out of the Pac-12, and I'm not sure what happened there, but they have been putting some points up on the board in their other two games. Now, they played some chumps, just like the Buckeyes have, but the offense and defense was clicking in most of their other games. Add the fact that Wisconsin has been a nemesis of the Buckeyes in the past. They've got a football tradition, and I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of folks think that it will be. I hope the Buckeyes surprise me. I'd like to see 77 to nothing.
Well, that's what we always hope for, isn't it? Especially on the last game of the season, we hope for a complete and total embarrassment of the opposing team.
Yeah, last game of the regular season too. Yeah.
Regular season, right? Not the season, because we will be Big Ten champs again. So. So the reason I called was that, and I heard something today that was kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't really even think about that. You know, I knew the dates and everything. It has to do with, how much we've advanced in technology in the last 100 years or the last 50 or whatever it is.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just say that I read today that the first manned airplane flight, you know, the Wright brothers in, now I'm going to get the date wrong, 1903, 01, 03, but anyway, and then you fast forward a mere 58 years, and that was the first manned space travel, 58 years between those two events.
between getting off the ground and putting a man on the moon. Isn't it amazing? Especially when you put it in the context of the entire existence of mankind.
Indeed. And now the 58 years would have been just putting a man in space, because that was, 61, and then 69 was somebody on the moon. But still, it's just an amazing display of perseverance and brain power and the willingness and the drive for us to be better or make better things or discover technologies or make technologies. I just think that that's just an amazing number.
If only our wisdom as a species would keep up with our advances in technology.
Yeah, indeed. So it made me think also, if you were you back in 1981, 82, high school age, and what modern technology or what modern thing today that we just look at and take for granted, do you think would have blown you away?
Cell phone, computers, yeah. But I'm going to, if I've got to name one, I would have to say the smartphone.
Yeah. And
what about you?
I think it's probably, I'm thinking, a lot of times we'll walk through the house and, we have a couple different personal, Alexas, I was going to be generic about it, but whatever the personal assistant, electronic personal assistant, walks through and you say, hey, turn on the front porch light, or what's the weather tomorrow, or what's 3,000 times 4, or you could get anything answered by talking to a little box, and this thing talks back to you. And the technology is even to the place where you can set the settings at having some kind of a conversation. Like if she gives you information, you say thank you. She says, oh, you're quite welcome, that kind of thing. So I think that would be it for me, having a conversation, even though it's not intelligence at this point, that we're having this machine that can give us all this information at our fingertips.
Well, and I am fascinated by that as well, because the Alexa and Siri and personal assistants, it's in its infancy. But now, I'm a Star Trek fan, and back in the 60s, they're communicators. Well, those are our smartphones today. Our smartphones do even do more than Captain Kirk's communicator did. They talked to the computer, which looked kind of downright goofy back in the 60s, and now we're talking to our Alexis and our Siris. And when we've been on this topic, I've mentioned the movie Her, H-E-R. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah. I have not.
That it's a fascinating peek into the. It's set in the not too distant future, and Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with a computer program, which is voiced by Scarlett Johansson, and she's very convincing.
Well, yeah.
we're to the point now where we can have a conversation with Siri, and it's not intelligent, but that technology is only going to improve. I think on down the road, there will be more voice inflection. It will become more intuitive. It will, just like our video games, we've come a long way from Pong and Asteroids to video games that are almost indistinguishable from real life video. I think that's going to happen with our personal assistants or talking to a computer program. And if there is intuition, if they are programmed to learn from the interaction that they have with humans and build upon the algorithm based on that, at what point do we call it intelligence, if at all?
Right. And that has come along in a lot less than 58 years. Those things that you mentioned, the Pong, everybody our age and older either had nothing as far as a video game, or it was the very basic ones, the Pong, the Asteroids, and Donkey Kong and those kind of things were just, with lots of fun. But yeah, I haven't played a, and I don't know about video games, but then you get into virtual reality, you put this helmet on and you could be transported to another place and you could participate in activities in that other place just with this helmet on and some sensors on your hands. And you know, that's amazing.
Have you done that before, or have you seen a demonstration?
I have not. I've seen some demonstrations, and you know, it's just unbelievable, the reality of it. And so will that be our entertainment coming, you know, what's 58 years from now? If you want to go to the beach, do you go into a room in your house and flip a switch and it simulates the beach? All around you are, you know, videos or whatever, but they look so real, and there's sand in there and sunshine and the smells. And I think that's probably not too far away either.
Star Trek again. Star Trek The Next Generation introduced a concept that they call a holodeck, and it is a great big room right on the Enterprise that does just that. You walk into it, and there are computer simulations of whatever that you want to simulate, and they've got it to the point where you can actually feel and touch the things that that are in there. But I think that's the direction that we're going. We seem to want, with our technology, we want to get machines and computers and circuits to simulate what people do.
Right. And that will be fun and also dangerous, because no matter what technology you advance to, there's always going to be people who use it for evil or nefarious, you know, outcomes. And I was thinking the other day, we were watching a program, America's Got Talent. One of the talents on there was someone who perfected, or not perfect, but has really brought the technology of deep, is it a deep fake? Where
yes.
You can have, yes, and have somebody else's face. So they had three people singing, and just, you know, normal people singing, and they had cameras on them. And then they transposed, or I don't know how they do this, but it was Simon Cowell, the, you know, one of the hosts, and Terry Crews, the host, and they were all, their faces were deepfaked onto these people, so they were the ones that were singing, and it was unbelievable, because if you would just tune in, you would think it was Simon Cowell singing opera, and it was crazy. But where does that go? Then somebody can simulate the President of the United States and get on, you know, break into TV and say, you know, whatever they want and cause widespread panic, and kind of like the War of the Worlds, right?
You know? Very true. Now, I'll take all these things and put them together with the deep fakes. And we haven't even talked about robotic technology yet. I've seen, saw a story on that with 60 Star Trek again. They have androids. Lieutenant Commander Data is a machine. He is an android, mm-hmm. And they use that as a, well, that's where I'm going with it. That you take all this technology that is in its infancy right now, as amazing as it is, and take it to its extreme. And, someday, whether it's 20 years or 50 years or 100 years, perhaps we will be able to build, machines that, look and act and talk like, human beings that are, indistinguishable or barely distinguishable from us. And the Star Trek The Next Generation with Lieutenant Commander Data, are you familiar with that character at all?
I am. I'm not as big of a fan as you.
Well, they use him as a mechanism, as a vehicle for some very thought-provoking issues, such as the ones we're talking about here today.
Yeah. And, you know, there's another part that comes into that too. Once you get to creating a robotic person or somebody that you can't tell the difference, is now what about the spiritual part of that, or the soul part of that? If you injure them, do they have rights as everybody else would? Or, you know, there's a lot to be considered before a couple of
episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation deal with just that. And of course, Data, he has all our sympathies to begin with. So, yeah, and you can get really weird. Yeah. And someday maybe we will discover time travel and solve the mysteries of time. And if that ever happens, we have time travelers among us right now, by the way. Toss that into the mix. But there's just so many things that we can't I feel that we can't even fathom that will happen with our technology. Over the next 100 years, especially when you put it in a perspective about how far we went from getting off the ground to getting to the moon, and there will be people that use it for like everything. Alexander Graham Bell, I'm sure he did not envision telemarketers when he called Watson.
probably not. But then I don't know if you know, if that's such a good idea, but the technology will evolve. It, you know, nothing will stop it. I mean, I'm with you. What could possibly be next? And by the way, I have already perfected time travel. And I'll call your show last week and tell you about it.
Okay. I knew you were going somewhere like that, but, all right.
Right. But, you know, I think if people had developed time travel, they'd probably be skipping us right now as a place to land. You know,
if we ever develop time travel, if it ever happens, then that means, I'm being serious about this, that means time travel to the point where we can physically move ourselves from one point in time to another. If that's the case, we have time travelers among us as we speak.
Well, that's quite the possibility.
Hey.
But I think that I would probably visit somewhere else in time rather than here and now if I were them.
Yeah.
Unless I, you know, got something to do here.
Do you ever play Would You Rather with Alexa?
No, I have not.
It's fun. Sometimes I'll do that right when I get in bed with night. Have a round of 10 questions with Alexa. Would You Rather, it's called. Let's say Alexa, play Would You Rather. Now, one of the questions is, would you rather travel in time 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past?
Oh, no question.
What's the answer?
Future. There's no question. But how do we know that 100 years in the future still exist?
Hey, exactly. That is a consideration.
Yes.
100 years in the past, we didn't even have television or radio or cell phones or any of that stuff. How did people even, how'd they even survive?
But you'd get a darn good slice of pie.
You got that right.
Then. Yeah. So the food would be incredible, I'm thinking. And, yeah. Well, if you can go and visit. And that begs the question, would you go back and change disastrous events if you could?
Star Trek again.
Really?
There are several episodes, time travel episodes, where they travel in time and they got to make sure that they don't do something that would change the course of the future. One of the most famous episodes, The City on the Edge of Forever, is based on that. You need to start watching more Star Trek.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that would interest me. But how could you not go into the past and not change something? I mean, just your presence there is going to change something, even if...
However small.
Right, however small. And then how does that affect something 10 years from that point?
And then there's, the movie The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher, which... I liked
right.
it. Did not get very good. Did not get great reviews, but I liked it just because of the whole
concept
there. Yeah,
I love time travel movies. The a couple that I like are Eleven 22-63 when Kennedy was shot. There was a fellow who finds a portal in time, and so he's that was his plan to go back and prevent JFK from being shot. And he actually meets Lee Harvey Oswald, and it's very cool. And it's just called the date of the event is what the show is. So it would be 11-22. Am I right?
I don't know. I don't know.
63.
Don't have that memorized. So 11 something. My mom always tells me she was holding me in her arms while she sat in this particular chair. So, yeah.
And I bet, like every other mom, she was just bawling her eyes out at that point.
So we were 3 months old.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So there's some stuff. I love that. I love thinking about time travel and the space thing, too, just blows my mind. This James Webb telescope and how far out, how far out in perspective have we gone? Maybe an inch to what we can see, how much further is it out there? And if it never ends, how do you reconcile that in your brain?
Yeah. I think that's beyond the comprehension of human
being.
If the universe has a finite size, then it has to have some sort of shape to it. So, all right, this is getting a little deep.
It is. I like it.
And I'm enjoying
it. Back to work I go, and go Bucks, and have a great afternoon.
All right, well, thank you for calling, and 740-622-1560, and I enjoy conversations like that. Usually conversations like that take place, late in the night after the party dies down. While listening to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. Some serious stuff, some things to consider. And the caller started off by putting it into perspective. It was 1900-something that the Wright brothers finally attained powered flight. And we got off the ground. And just six decades later, we got a man on the moon. And over the course of human history, what a short period of time that is. So what are things going to look like 60 years or 100 years or 200 years from now? Or 500 years from now, in the year 2525. It's 10:39, and time travel movies. I am a big fan of time travel movies. Some of my favorites, there's 12 Monkeys. There is, Back to the Future, of course. And that one is all about going back in time and changing something. That really is a good movie. Some of the execution and the time travel movies. There's always going to be logical problems with time travel movies, but thought-provoking movies about life choices, etc., in the context of time travel. And science fiction is just fantastic for telling all sorts of stories because of the suspension of disbelief. You can make anything work in the context of time travel, and Star Trek did it. Time travel movies. Let's see, there's one called Primer. That one is a very basic movie, and you have to pay attention to that one. You can't step out and go to the bathroom and come back 2 minutes later. You're going to miss something. I've watched it 3 or 4 times and still haven't quite figured out what all's going on. So we can talk about that if you'd like, where we are with our technology, where technology is going, whether it's used for good or evil, or we can talk about the Buckeyes. I told the caller I would look up, I say 3828 Wisconsin, and hope I'm wrong about that, but Wisconsin on September the 10th, they lost to Washington State at home, 17-14. So Wisconsin had a hard time scoring in that game. They got a pretty solid running game, lost that game, and that's knocked them out of the top 25. But their other two games, admittedly against some lesser opponents, just like the Buckeyes have had with Toledo and Arkansas State. Wisconsin clobbered Illinois State 38-0, and last week they beat New Mexico State 66-7. So they've got a potent, solid offense, and I think the Buckeyes are primed. I think Wisconsin might give them a little trouble. So what are your thoughts? Give me a call. Phone lines are open between now and 11. This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by the Coshocton County OSU Extension Office.
Country roads can be beautiful during the fall, but always be on the lookout for farm vehicles. Farmers must transport grain and other harvest equipment to and from fields. Sometimes it's slow going, which can be frustrating to both farmers and motorists who share the roads. The National Safety Council would like to remind you to use understanding when you come upon farm vehicles. Slow down, be ready to react, and wait until it is safe to pass.
Craig Abner here with the Jeff Drennan's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Otsego Avenue. Before you know it, the leaves will be changing colors and the cold weather will be bringing on the snow. Brrr! Now is a perfect time to get a four-wheel drive for the upcoming season. Our lot is packed with over 60 pre-owned vehicles, and 40 of them are four-wheel drives. These vehicles have all been maintenance checked, detailed, and ready to go anywhere your next adventure may take you. We have 37 one-owner vehicles for you to choose from, as well as a great selection of new vehicles arriving daily. We currently have 0% financing on most Rams in stock for up to 72 months. Don't get left out in the cold. Stop in and see for yourself just how easy it is to get a great deal on your next vehicle right here at Jeff Drennan's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or look us up on the web at ChryslerJeepDodgeOfCoshocton.com.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
Fall is almost here, and there's a lot to do and see at Shoemaker Farms. Shoemaker Farms has all your fall decorating accessories like pumpkins, gourds, mums, corn stalks, straw bales, apples, squash, and of course, homemade cookies. They also have tomatoes, zucchini, cucumbers, produce, and did I mention homemade cookies? Located between Coshocton and West Lafayette on County Road 16, Shoemaker Farms is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. until 6, and Sunday from 10 until 4. Stay tuned for hayrides to the pumpkin patch every Saturday and Sunday in October.
If you turn 65 this year, you are eligible for Medicare. To help you understand your choices and possibility of financial assistance, the Ohio Department of Insurance is holding Welcome to Medicare events across the state. So join us at a free event near you. Make sure your plan suits your budget and your needs. For more information, contact the Ohio Department of Insurance at 1-800-686-1578 or go online at insurance.ohio.gov.
Need to visit the Ohio BMV? Go online first. It could save you a trip. It's now easier and more convenient than ever to get what you need from the BMV online. Need to renew your driver's license? Renew online. And if you need to renew your vehicle registration, visit one of our new BMV Express kiosks or go online. If you do need to visit a BMV agency, use the Get in Line online tool, also found on the website, to save your spot and minimize your time waiting. For more services available online, check out bmv.ohio.gov.
Juanita Potts Family Home, a residential care facility, offers a less restrictive environment and a broader level of care than both a nursing home and an assisted living facility in a much smaller, home-like setting. To see if Juanita Potts Family Home is the correct level of care for your loved one, call Derek Potts at 740-294-3072.
Partly sunny today with highs in the mid-60s. Chance of rain is 50%. For tonight, mainly clear. Much cooler with lows in the mid-40s, and tomorrow partly sunny in the morning, then becoming a partly cloudy with highs in the lower 60s. Currently it is 66 degrees in Coshocton. Strictly speaking, we're all time travelers. We are traveling through time as we speak every day. Get up in the morning, go to bed at night, travel through time from a sun up to sundown, and don't even really understand the whole concept of time because we are just human beings. Let's go ahead and take another phone call now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Morning.
Obscure time travel movie.
Christopher Reeve in Somewhere in Time.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's from the 80s, and a friend of mine, I'd never heard of it. I like Christopher Reeve, but a friend of mine, it's her favorite, and she and I watched it together a couple years ago, and it has beautiful musical scores in it. And it basically, it's Christopher Reeve, and the movie starts, there's a woman, he's receiving an award for, I can't remember what the award was, for theater or music. Anyway, this woman comes and says, why don't you come back? Please come back. And anyway, he meets this man who has devised a way to go back in time by deeply meditating about it. And he goes to this hotel, and he does this. And he succeeds in going back in time. And then it's a love story between him and this lady, and there's another man involved, of course, that's competing for her, and at one point he realizes that he has traveled in time when he sees a penny with a date on it from the 1970s, and he realizes that can't be in his mind. So then he gets sucked out of that. He's no longer able to stay there in the past. And it's kind of sad how it ends, because he's just heartbroken and he keeps trying to go back and he can't, and he dies at the end of the movie. But it's a beautiful movie. But it's not so much the sci-fi time travel, but it's just a real interesting movie.
Not spaceships and all that that kind of stuff,
no.
but time travel movies and science fiction in general, and I think that's one of the reasons why I love science fiction so much, is that science fiction in general is a wonderful template for storytelling. It can make you think about things in a perspective that you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, and that was kind of different in that it wasn't the stereotypical sci-fi movie. It was just kind of this, I don't know, I've never seen another movie that did what that movie did.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get a chance to look it up, it's kind of neat, and the musical scores in it are really cool.
I wrote it down and put it in my pocket.
Reeve is wonderful. He's a wonderful actor, you know. There was a big loss there when he got hurt and couldn't continue, because he really... that he was a looker when he was young, you know. He was real handsome and tall, and he was Superman, I guess,
Superman.
In a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what he's most known for. When I first saw that movie, I was like, man, I never knew he was in this. This is not something I'd ever heard of, but it was pretty neat. So yeah, if you get a chance, check it out. But yeah, time travel, I don't know, I'd be one. You could probably guess, you've talked to me enough times, I wouldn't go forward, I'd go backwards. Because, I don't know, I think all this AI futuristic stuff, it's all overrated. Give me real-life relationships with real people any day.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of afraid what I would find 100 years from now. I think it would be maybe even unrecognizable from what we have today. Look at our society today compared to just 100 years ago, not just the technology, but everything, so...
I mean, even just 20 years ago, I don't know. I'm noticing a trend, and I try not to think too much about it, but I run into people in my age bracket, and they are so unpersonal. You know, when you go and you talk to them, maybe they're working somewhere, they're so impersonal. They have no desire to form any kind of niceties with you. They're very hard to connect with. Not all of them, of course, but many, and it worries me, because they're in their phones all the time, and they're in themselves and they're in their phones, and it's just kind of, it worries me as I get older, and I'm just like, man, I hope I'm not just surrounded by this as I grow older. I don't know. I hope people start waking up and realizing that, you know, there's value in getting to know the people around you a little bit. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to be here 100 years from now, maybe 50, but not 100. That would scare me a little
bit. I'd like to take a peek into the future as an observer, but I don't know if I'd want to take the leap and snap my fingers and it'd be 100 years from now. I'm kind of afraid of what I'd find.
Yeah, not 100. Maybe 50, but not 100.
Maybe 50.
All right. Well, I'll see if somebody else
calls. All right. Thank you for calling. 10:51 is the time. And let's see. We're going to have time here. I need to get caught up. We might be able to work one more quick phone call in here. Have to do the math. We'll be back here in just a moment. And talking about kind of a different type of talk show today, talking about science fiction versus science reality. We have seen a lot of things come to fruition that was science fiction in the past. And what about our callers' comments about are we becoming more impersonal? Are we seeing study after study or observation after observation that with the technology that we have, maybe it's at the expense of good old-fashioned, warm, interpersonal interaction. Your thoughts? We'll be back in a moment.
Tim Ryan's voted for the Biden-Pelosi tax and spend agenda 100% of the time. That hurts hardworking Ohio families struggling with sky-high prices. Here's Bruce, a single dad in Massillon.
We're already strapped, but taxing Tim Ryan? He's putting the burden of payment for all his reckless Washington spending on hardworking middle-class families like mine. With $20 billion in higher taxes. Ryan also voted to hire 87,000 new IRS employees, not just to go after the rich, but to try to squeeze the little guy even more. My family just can't afford taxing Tim Ryan.
Higher taxes on hardworking families, and the IRS coming after us for more? Taxing Tim Ryan just doesn't deserve our vote. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by the Coshocton County Farm Bureau.
Studies show that many of the accidents that occur on the farm involve tractors. Hello, everyone. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield with this Farm Safety and Health Week message. All who operate a tractor should be physically and mentally fit. The National Safety Council says fatigue, stress, worry, medication, alcohol, and drugs can detract from safe operation. Make sure the tractor is equipped with a rollover protective structure, a ROPS. Make sure the PTO master shield is in place, lights and flashers are functioning properly, and there is a reflective slow-moving vehicle emblem posted. Properly inflate tires, make sure there's a fully equipped first aid kit on the tractor, and a fire extinguisher. Everyone who operates a tractor should receive training and be physically and mentally capable. Shut down equipment, turn off the engine, and wait for moving parts to stop before dismounting. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield.
Tim Ryan's voted for the Biden-Pelosi tax and spend agenda 100% of the time. That hurts hardworking Ohio families struggling with sky-high prices. Here's Bruce, a single dad in Massillon.
We're already strapped, but taxing Tim Ryan? He's putting the burden of payment for all his reckless Washington spending on hardworking middle-class families like mine with $20 billion in higher taxes. Ryan also voted to hire 87,000 new IRS employees, not just to go after the rich, but to try to squeeze the little guy even more. My family just can't afford taxing Tim Ryan.
Higher taxes on hardworking families, and the IRS coming after us for more? Taxing Tim Ryan just doesn't deserve our vote. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by the Coshocton County Fair Board.
The right tool for the job. Hello, everyone. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield with this Farm Safety and Health Week message. Tools are an important part of life on the farm. A good set of hand tools is indispensable when working on farm equipment, whether in the field or in the shop. Tools also contribute to many accidents on the farm. The National Education Center for Agricultural Safety reminds us that tool handles should be tight and without defects. Make sure power tools are properly grounded or are double insulated. Switch off and unplug power tools before changing blades or servicing and repairing. Keep all guards and shields in place. Unplug unplug and put tools away after use, and be sure to keep them away from young children. Tools are an important part of life on the farm. Be sure to use them correctly so you can enjoy a long and injury-free life. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. During September, we are giving an additional $500 off your next vehicle to all our local heroes, doctors, nurses, EMTs, hospital staff, deputies, firefighters, and also active military and veterans. Only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
This National Farm Safety Week message is brought to you by RAM 5 Point Auto Sales.
Use the right tool for the job. Hello, everyone. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield with this Farm Safety and Health Week message. Tools are an important part of life on the farm. A good set of hand tools is indispensable when working on farm equipment, whether in the field or in the shop. Tools also contribute to many accidents on the farm. The National Education Center for Agricultural Safety reminds us that tool handles should be tight and without defects. Make sure power tools are properly grounded or are double insulated. Switch off and unplug power tools before changing blades or servicing and repairing. Keep all guards and shields in place. Unplug and put tools away after use, and be sure to keep them away from young children. Tools are an important part of life on the farm. Be sure to use them correctly so you can enjoy a long and injury-free life. I'm Cindy Young with Brownfield.
What do Prince, Joan Collins, Elvis, Lana Turner, and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, all have in common?
That's easy. They're all featured celebrities in our estate event at Dean's Jewelry.
September 27th in Coshocton and the 28th in Mount Vernon. Shop previously owned celebrity jewelry from Charlotte Ray, Sammy Davis Jr., Buster Keaton, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and more.
Take home your own piece of celebrity history during Dean's estate event. September 27th in Coshocton and the 28th in Mount Vernon.
Come on down to the Roscoe Barbecue Company, located in historic Roscoe Village next to the Visitor Center. Roscoe Barbecue Company smokes their meat daily and has perfected the spice of the smoke to ensure your meat is always fresh to order and offers great mouth-watering taste. The Roscoe Barbecue Company offers slow-smoked and dry-rubbed brisket, sliced turkey, pulled pork, smoked sausage, ribs, and smoked chicken legs. The Roscoe Barbecue Company is open Wednesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Partly sunny today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Chance of rain is 50%. For tonight, mainly clear, much cooler, with lows in the mid-40s. And tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy with highs in the lower 60s. Currently, it is 65 degrees in Coshocton. That wraps up today's talk show. Thanks for calling, and thank you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow. And the Coshocton Fire Department will be checking fire hydrants today in the Otsego Avenue and Pleasant Valley areas. 65 degrees currently in Coshocton. Thanks to Emily Marison for joining us today, and a happy birthday to Emily. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's 11 o'clock.
Listen to the WTNS communication lines Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.